Hi, everyone. Welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 60 for December 18th, 2018. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. And over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to five symbols each. And I've put the list together of the requests that we're going to talk about today. And you should be seeing those on your screen while I'm talking. And we're going to get to as many of those as we can today. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. But you can also now listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes of the Timing Research shows on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Kosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and I developed the show with Dean of Follow Me Trades, but he's off this week as moderator. And I have Michael Filigera back to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
And thank you, David. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the last Analyze Your Trade show for 2018. And joining me today on the panel is Larry Gaines from PowerCycleTrading.com. And one of my favorites to work with is Jim Kenny from OptionsProfessor.com. How I would like to begin today is that we'll each give a little intro of who we are and where we hang our hats and a little bit about what you do and how long. And we'll do kind of round robin. Well, it'll be Larry, Jim, and then myself. So begin with you, Larry.
Okay. Well, again, thanks for having me here today. And so I've been actively in the markets for over 35 years. Started out my career trading oil, ran one of the very large oil trading groups in the world for 10 years. And we trade pretty much everything. The biggest thing was oil, but we trade all the other commodities too, foreign exchange and all the future commodities and bonds. So been in the commodity side for a long time, and currently have a company that I started back in, I guess, around 2010 called Power Cycle Trading. And it's a company that I use different directional trading models that I've developed, and then we use options to trade the directional moves. So, based for better leverage and risk control. So I like to look for directional trade setups and then incorporate options. So kind of on a swing trade type of timing basis, anything, it could be one day up to 2 weeks, something like that. So kind of shorter duration type swing trade type setups, and like to look at the equity side of things primarily and go from there. So again, thanks for having me.
And thank you. And Jim.
Looks like he just disappeared. So he'll.
Oh, you're right. As I look down.
Yeah, having
some. He'll be on his way back in.
Well, yeah, he'll be back in a minute.
I hope so. I am Michael Filigera. I'm with LogicalSignals.com. Logical Signals is my own website. It has been under construction for a very long time. And those that may have heard me before or tried to check LogicalSignals.com, you're probably not really finding anything. Other than some older materials that I have done. The objective at the moment, if I can just kind of put all the working parts together, is to revamp the website, put a little bit of more of a modern design to it or a different feel for it, and begin to publish my writing again. And that's my goal for the new year. But in any case, I have been trading since 1979. I was an options market maker here in San Francisco on the Pacific Coast Options Exchange. I've also traded on the London Traded Options Market, and I've also on the European Options Exchange in Amsterdam and the DTB in Germany, and then came back here to San Francisco. I then left the floor in 2001 and kind of became a house trader, so to speak, that I began to trade from home. And once the markets really started to advance greater towards electronic trading, I really switched from trading options primarily to trading futures. And that's been my focus for about the last 5, 6, 7 years, somewhere in there, where I'm basically a day trader and I trade futures. Jim is now back with us. So Jim, I'm going to let you go ahead and introduce yourself and who you are, where you are, and what you do. Don't know if you're there, Jim, but I can't hear you. Oh, Jim is gone again. Well, we're going to hope that he gets back in and that everything will work out for him. And in the meantime, Larry, it's me and you.
All righty. Let's go.
Let's go. And you've got the chart up, and we're going to start there with Tandem Diabetes Care Inc.
Okay, so taking a look at this, I mean, it's almost like you throw something on the wall and it sticks and it's going to be a short. But this basically you can just kind of see it's trending down. It's trying to gain some support here, but you know, based on the overall broad markets, I think the potential move for it is probably lower. Mm-hmm. You see here on a weekly time frame, it's here sitting on a 21 period moving average. So it's really trying to hold the support, but you've got the spike low down here. And if we don't get any kind of help from the broad markets, look for it to probably retest down here to the spike low. So, you know, it's like everything else that we're seeing, we need some catalysts to get the markets kind of pushing to the upside. And the only thing that we have is potentially out there tomorrow with the Fed meeting. Okay. So I think that the market's kind of looking at a kind of a narrative where we're looking for them probably to be painted in a corner to have to raise the rates tomorrow. And then we'll see what they say. Hopefully they'll say they're data dependent for next year and they're not going to do anything. And we could get a short covering rally off of that. So we'll see. That's the only thing that's going to bail the market out, because everything that I've looked at and all this total list today, everything looks like a short trade to me. The only potential trade when we get into the things that we're looking at today is PayPal. But other than that, the markets are under pressure, and it doesn't take much to get them pushing back to the downside. So right now, reluctant to go short today too much. Going to see what happens tomorrow after the Fed, but then that could really set the stage for the rest of the week and for next week to see if we do finally get a Santa Claus rally. If they don't do anything that's kind of perceived as dovish to kind of take the pressure off the markets, then we can have a bigger breakdown and, you know, break those over levels of the S&P that we could go through to today as well. So that's my take on TNDM. Okay.
Michael, are you there? Hey, Michael. Like, yeah, we can't hear you. We've lost. Okay. Everyone's having problems today. Larry, if you want to go ahead and go to IWM.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So the next one on our list is the Russell 2000 IWM. Now, this is a really interesting one, actually. And if we do get a something that's perceived as semi-positive to get the market, you know, moving to the upside off a short covering rally, this is one that could have a nice little bounce. It's extremely oversold. And if you just look at, here's a weekly chart just to show you where it is. It's coming into a major support level here as well. So, you know, just down about 134, 132, this is major support. So would not be selling the Russell too aggressively here. I mean, if you're short, I'd be covering it into this zone right here. So this is a weekly 200 week moving average, very key support. And then you can see all this price action through here. So this is going to be a good area to see if the market can hold up. Now, coming into this area, we're extremely oversold. So if it can hold here and we get a bounce, this is one that could be interesting to the upside. You can see these are my indicators here. The daily, you can see how extremely oversold it is down here. And so we could get a nice, you know, retracement bounce, but that would be it. Other than that, you know, any retracement bounce into the major moving averages would be, you know, retracement short setups would be looking for that, but you could get a bounce up into the moving averages.
Okay. Thank you. And
I'm back on. I'm here now. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. There's a bit of a echo.
We're on the Russell now?
IWM is what we're on.
Okay. Okay. On the Russell, this has been one of the great indicators, both up and down. On the rally that began pretty much in May, it was one of the first ones to break out and show us that the market was advancing. Conversely, in September, it started to break under 170 on the IWM. And then, of course, when it broke under 165, that was it. So it's been a very good leader on the up and the down. And that's one of the reasons staying bearish has been the way to go. Now we're here. We just about at the 52-week low, 136.16, and basically it could very well have a bear market rally here. So, you know, this is not the best time to get short or get thinking on the downside. The only way being on the sell side from here makes any sense is if you believe that we're going to have another big drop in the S&P, which is possible because we have broken underneath the 2603 area, which in my view was a very important area. And the last time we broke the long-term moving average that I work with was in 2011 and 2015, and we went 200 points lower in both instances temporarily. And then, of course, we jumped back on the bicycle. So there is risk, in my view, down into the low 2400s if this thing does not stabilize and get a rally going very soon. So I would say that this thing does look oversold and it could bounce, but I wouldn't 100% trust it. I definitely have some kind of a put hedge underneath.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Jim. And next, we have PayPal, PYPL.
Okay, let's take a look at PayPal. One second, I'll pull it up.
Hi, guys, I'm back.
Hey, Michael, we're on PYPL now. So
PayPal. So sorry, gentlemen, but it seems like the western part of the United States is having a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
So looking at PayPal, it's really been whippy. You can see, I call it kind of, look at that price action, up and down, up and down, up and down. But it's one of the few stocks and of the whole list here today that we're covering. It's really about the only one where it's over some of the main moving averages. So this has potential for an additional move to the upside. So you're sitting right here above the 200-day moving average right here, and you've got a cluster of a lot of different moving averages here. So if PayPal can get rolling, it really needs to kind of get back above this kind of area up here, this kind of 88, 89. If you can get, you know, pushing above this area here, it's got potential to push back up towards the highs. You know, I would not be shorting this one in here. I would not be buying it yet either, but it does have potential for a little bit more upside. And potentially if it breaks, you can see the resistance there. If it can get through this 88 level, then you could get it up to 94, retest those highs.
Okay. Jim, did you do PayPal?
PayPal obviously is one of the one-eyed men in the Valley of the Blind here. But the fact that it is the one-eyed man, I'd be a little bit concerned about it. Me personally, I'd probably like to see it get above 90 and then use 80 as my get-out point and see if I can get some momentum. If it breaks underneath 80.75, you know, you could say timber on this one as well, because again, underneath that area, it seems like there's not a whole lot of support. So this thing breaks underneath 80.75, it's in kind of big trouble. And if it gets above 90 and gets its legs, you know, I think one of the reasons for this could be is that they're taking a lot of business away from MasterCard and Visa. And of course, if that's the case, then that would make some sense why this thing would hold up well. And while the consumer, you know, is being questioned a little bit, unemployment's at 3.7. So buying things is still going to be the way to go as far as what we see right now. So PayPal, again, above 90 would be telling me that something's going on, and under 80 or 75. So again, all this stuff, putting some kind of a put hedge underneath would not be a terrible idea. Make sure you have a parachute. Make sure you have some kind of floor underneath your equity, because when things turn, you don't know where your equity will stabilize.
Jim, you know what I want to do? Is you moving out?
Hey, Michael, could you say that again? You're right. Cutting out a bit, I think, for me at least.
Okay. I was asking Jim where he had the 200-day moving average for PayPal.
Yeah, they were both around 83. So they're both converging at 83. That's why I say from here it looks okay, but I'd like to see some momentum to the upside, particularly since most stocks are getting hit. You know, this is the one-eyed man in the Valley of the Blind. And if it were to get under the 83 numbers, which are where the moving averages are converging, and then under 80, 78, something like that, you know, this thing could get hit and get thrown into the soup like most stocks have been thrown in.
Right.
Hey, Michael, are you there? I think we lost you again. If you guys want to go on to Amazon.
Okay, let's take a look at Amazon here. Let's pull it up. Okay, so Amazon, you know, key again areas in here. So you can see that it's trading back below the 618 retracement. So tomorrow, another key stock to be watching after the Fed meets is Amazon. So if it cannot get back above this 1556 level, you know, this could easily go down. We could see this down retesting the lows down here at 1424. So you know, the trend is rolled back over for Amazon, and it's trying to get in here to hold. But again, it's being caught up with the overall broad market wash to the downside, and it's not getting you know, much momentum to the upside. So again, tomorrow key, if it can't get back above this 1556, you can see this 50% retracement level, 1597. This thing could easily slide right back down to those prior lows.
Okay, thank you. And Jim?
Yeah, I've been monitoring this very closely, because if you've been listening to my podcast weekly, I did when we were above 2000 on Amazon, I made it very clear that the 200-day moving average was down in the 1500s, and being 500 points above your 200-day average is not a good place to be. And I didn't know what would make it go back down towards the average, but my feeling was probabilities were huge that it was going to happen. So that's precisely what occurred. And not only did it go to the moving average, it went through them like a knife through butter. Now you're getting on the other side. Your 200 days up in 1700, you're down at 1500. So what's my suspicion? My suspicion is, unless we're going into that leg down where the VIX jumps to 30 or 40. This thing is probably going to be contained in this 1400, 1450 support area. And if the Fed comes out with a nice dovish statement and of course, you know, people get positive, then of course, this would probably be one of the recipients of that. But in the aftermarket here, I think we're down 17 bucks. So somebody doesn't believe in it. And again, you do have the death cross there, 50 days under the 200 day. So, you know, the 100 to 100 PE ratio stuff, 150 PE ratio stuff is definitely off the board right now. And so, you know, like I say, the 1400, 1450 that was mentioned, obviously that had better hold. If that gets taken out, you know, Lord knows where the thing would go.
Okay. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, Michael.
Okay, I apologize for all the things that are going on. I need to look out my window and see if there's not somebody digging up the street somewhere. Amazon, like Jim saying, is a stock that actually, through this show and other shows...
Hey, Michael, for the next stock?
Yeah, Michael, we lost you again, if you can hear me. But yeah, so the next one is okay. MCD.
Yeah, let's take a look at MCD. McDonald's. We'll all be eating burgers here. Hold on. All right. So McDonald's, we've got it breaking down. It's sitting right here on top of that 50 simple moving average on the daily. So starting to roll over here. You can see this is a bull flag, but it's starting to break down to the downside. Not looking too good. Our momentum indicators are all down. So if this doesn't get bailed, you know, if the outcome of the Fed meeting tomorrow is not at all bullish, dovish, whatever you want to call it, this one is going to take the next leg down. And, you know, just looking at a weekly time frame, you can kind of see a bigger picture targets currently sitting right here. That'll be a little support 178. That breaks through. You've got the next kind of level of support down here about 174. So looking at that kind of a reversal down, so, you know, potentially down to 179, then down here, you can see this kind of price action here, 174. But, you know, it could hold in here if we get something positive out of the Fed, hold that 50, and we could get a kind of a retracement bounce. So again, key tomorrow, see what the market perception is after that meeting. But if not good, this one's rolling down as well.
Okay. And Jim?
On a relative basis, you know, this stock is actually doing quite well, but, you know, it's hard to be, like I say, the only ship in the storm that doesn't get whacked. So I would look at the 200-day average of 165. If we start getting further deterioration in the market, I think that could come into play. I think 150 is your real line in the sand, even if you're a long-term holder on it, because under 150, they would be taking out you know, the 52-week low from March of this year at 146. So again, this is a great company. My son works for it. It's his first job. So of course, I can't badmouth somebody who's helping my son get started in employment. But as far as buying it, I would probably prefer to see if I could buy it somewhere closer to the 165 and then use that 150 cement bottom as my area where I don't think it would break, because the company is making money and the company does have tremendous loyalty, etc. So, you know, this is one of the ones that you can kind of count on if the economy is any good at all, because people definitely are at this place eating.
All right. Okay. And Michael, are you back?
I am. And okay. I'm actually going to exit another hog that was taking a lot of my... I do think that someone is out there. They're in the process of moving a lot of the overhead wires underground. And I think that's kind of what they're doing. And they've been doing it on a street that feeds my internet. Okay. In any case, McDonald's. I am actually surprised that McDonald's has actually held up as well as it has against a sell-off in the broader markets, particularly in the Dow. I also show the 200-day moving average down at the 165 level. I actually agreed wholeheartedly with Jim. It's like I definitely would not be a buyer up here of McDonald's. I'd be looking for it to kind of peel off a few more dollars here before it becomes interesting. What does continue to keep it up, I believe, is the fact that it does produce a good dividend. So as far as that goes, that has remained pretty consistent throughout. It just got them paying a pretty solid dividend, less than what it did the previous quarter, but nonetheless, still fairly decent. I definitely would stand on the sideline. If I had a position in McDonald's, I'd be looking to protect it, because I think if they come in, it may slide pretty quickly. It may find some support down around the 175 to 172 level and then 165. So as Jim stated, I would wait and let the rest of the markets flush everything out and then move on from there. Okay. Pfizer. Let's see if I can stay connected here for a while. Larry, Pfizer.
Okay, well, you know, broken record. Another one is sliding to the downside. You see it broke through, again, all the major moving averages. The only thing with a lot of these stocks, and we've talked about it, is they're getting, you know, they're all getting oversold and getting extended from their moving averages. So when that happens, you know, when you do have a short covering rally, you know, you have that retracement to these kind of a mean reversion. So again, this is, you know, broken down. Next target would be down here to these prior lows at about 41.70. But, you know, it could get the benefit of a short covering rally. So if we look at a weekly time frame, Pfizer, you know, some support here. You can see this price action through here. So 41.70 price action. That breaks then. It's going to be down pretty fast to about 39.40 bucks right in here. So again, we'll see what happens as far as the Fed meeting tomorrow, but it's a little bit oversold, extended stretch from the moving averages. So you get that snap back up into this area here, 44. But then if you get a snap back, you want to be looking to resell up here around this 44, 45 level.
Okay, thank you. And Jim?
Well, it's in one of the stronger sectors this year, you know, healthcare. So that's benefited as well. The moving averages are still inverted to the upside. So that's a positive. And the stock, albeit is underneath the 50-day average, it is above the 200-day of 39. You know, both McDonald's and this stock, it wouldn't be the worst idea if you were an owner of it to consider looking into and investigating the collar strategy, because you still have something to protect. You know, these other stocks that are already in the toilet, you know, you can't buy your raincoat after Katrina hits, you know. So bottom line is these things, both McDonald's and Pfizer, you know, there's still value there fairly close to the high. And so if you could investigate an out-of-the-money call and some kind of a put underneath, then you could ride out the storm, if there's going to be a storm, a little bit easier than just watching the thing drop and then wondering what can I do after it drops, because obviously at that point it's a little late.
And I agree with that. I don't want to echo pretty much what Jim and Larry have already said. But I also see that support, and that would come on a daily chart right around that 41.70 down to 41.50 area. And if that does contain selling, then yeah, I think we can have a rally. But like some of the indexes, I think that if I'm correct, if those levels don't hold, then I would expect it to begin to accelerate lower and end up getting down and testing that 200-day moving average, which is down below at about 39, as Jim said. I have it about 39.65. So you can kind of say 39 to up to that level, 39.40. And if that does not hold, then I think that Pfizer, along the balance of the market, is going to be in a great deal of trouble. And I also agree with what Jim has said. These particular stocks, quite a few of the Dow stocks, have held their own as the broader index has really kind of gotten its head handed to it and may continue to get its head handed to it. But when we start to see that we have Boeing, Pfizer, McDonald's, and the larger blue chip stocks holding their own, I doubt that they'll be able to when the sell pressure is so high that they're going to be included. And therefore, I agree with Jim that it's like, if you happen to own this stock or it's a part of your portfolio and you want to keep it, then I think you need to start to look at the collar strategy or just a different strategy, which is going to give you some protection should they're underneath you. Okay, so we're going to move on and we're going to go to Cisco, moving back out to California. So we'll start again with Larry.
Well, another one that's broken down pretty hard this week. You know, it was holding up, but then you can see here, it just really fell apart and had a pretty explosive move down this week, breaking that 200-day moving average. So into a little tiny bit of support through here, but the major area would be down to about 43, but not looking too good. So this is one that was holding up and then just got caught up in the storm to the downside by everything else. So with Cisco, you can see this level here where it currently is on the weekly, about 43.90, pushed down here to this low here, so call it 43, and then you've got your next major support level down here about 41. So if there's no rebound tomorrow, you know, off of something out of the Fed, then look for a test here of the 43 and then potentially lower down here to this area of, you know, price action right here into, you know, 41 area kind of right through there. So like everything else, it's starting to come under pressure. No, there's no place to hide.
And Jim?
Well, this stock's been in a trading range here all year, 40 to 50, and obviously it's going back down towards the other area. Again, similar to McDonald's and Pfizer, if you think the highs are in, selling the call and buying a put to stabilize your equity wouldn't be a terrible idea. But just to be clear, you know, you either know exactly how these strategies work or your clearing firm is explaining it to you or something, because again, when you do sell a call, you are agreeing to sell your stock. So if the stock does take off, they could call it away from you. In fact, you'd be selling it, or you could possibly roll up the call or get out of the call by liquidating it. But there is a risk of selling your stock in the strategy of collar writing. So I always suggest people either make sure they understand it, go to their clearing firm, or go to my podcast and send me an email with any of your questions, because you want to know how every strategy works, both on a use or risk and an up and a downside before you even think about it.
Well said. I started to look at the daily chart, and then I slipped down and I looked at the hourly chart, and then I looked over at my news story, and it seems that Micron has come out with earnings and has a conference call going on. Micron closed at 34. It's now trading at 31. And so that's starting to pull down the whole sector. Now that Cisco is not necessarily involved in chips as Intel is, or other companies, or Advanced Micro, which is further down on our list, which would be an interesting one to look at. But nonetheless, it does participate within the larger technology that sits basically here in California. And it is also now down below 44, trading, I think, at 43. Hold on one second. Let me just get that number. It's trading at 43.80, and not that bad from the close, but it's down, you know, a quarter. So I think that the whole idea behind what's happening in the broader markets is that there's a sell-off happening. And I think that Cisco will definitely at least test the 43 level, which is the current low from last October. And I think it breaks, and I think it continues down, and it starts heading towards 41. And if that doesn't hold, the next stop would be 37. And depending on how severe this sell-off moving forward continues, we're back in that same boat. So far, basically since October, Cisco has sat in a basically sideways, tighter range of about $5. And that's now going to start to break. And I think that the stock could get in trouble here. And then we're going to again, in that if you hold the stock and we don't get a rally, as Larry made reference to, then I think you definitely have to consider putting some protection around your position. And on that note, we're going to take a pause from going through all of our stocks. And before we pick up again, I want to go back around and basically give us a chance to offer any trade suggestions or not necessarily advice, but just, you know, maybe a view that you're holding and what you think about what's going on and maybe what folks can kind of look for. Are we getting close to a buying opportunity? Are we, you know, whatever you're looking at, and any trade suggestions that you might have, let's do a round robin and kind of talk about that a little bit. And we'll start with you, Larry.
Okay. So, you know, the key, I always like to always revert back to looking at the S&P 500 kind of for all the different sectors that it references and covers. And so, you know, key is currently looking at where it is on support and holding that or breaking it. So I think tomorrow and Thursday will be, a lot of times you'll have a Fed outcome and nothing, you know, you'll think it's, you know, good or bad after the session on Wednesday, but really doesn't get resolved until Thursday, you know, to give the whole global markets time to kind of absorb it. So if we just look at the key support level for the S&P, SPY, whatever you want to use, we're currently sitting right on it. So it's, you know, 253 right here. So if there is something that's constructive from what the Fed says tomorrow and the market buys it, then, you know, we'll get a short covering rally back into the, you know, mean reversion to the major moving averages. But and that's because if you can just see, here's the weekly, right? And it's just super, super oversold. So we get extreme oversold conditions, we tend to get, you know, kind of a reversion to the moving averages, et cetera. So if we don't get that out of the Fed, then this 252, 253 breaks, we'll get a spike in that volatility and we'll get a push down to the next, you know, levels, which could be, I've got 250 here and then, you know, down even further. So that's kind of a key point of reference for me to look at closely tomorrow. And if that holds and we get something pushing to the upside, then, you know, the next thing to do is look at at your upside targets based on Fibonacci. So we'd be looking at potentially moving back to 265 right in here would be the first major kind of resistance area, and then up to potentially maybe up to 270, and then start looking to reset some shorts. So that's going to be key to me going forward to see what happens tomorrow and if we get any kind of a mean reversion based on oversold bounce.
From what you've just said, so what you really are you feeling in a larger corrective phase, and that what we may get out of a more positive or dovish statement from the Fed is rebound rally up to resistance.
Rebound rally going in Christmas rally into the end of the year, and then 2019 we'd have a bigger move down. But we'll see. The whole tone of the market could change tomorrow if the Fed does something very constructive. I mean, they could say, okay, we're going to stop liquidating our balance sheet. That would be very, very constructive. They'll say we're done raising rates. We're data dependent. We're going to stop on our reducing our balance sheet size like that. So that would be constructive. You know, but I don't think they will. But if they did something that, you could get a pretty decent sustained rally and go from there. But if that doesn't happen, at just any rally into the major moving averages, being the major one would be the 200 up here to 275 or something. That's where you want to reset.
I think it's tricky when we're attempting to put a technical view around a more fundamental, which I think is what the Fed's work is fundamental. They're dealing with our currency, the dollar, interest rates, et cetera, et cetera. And to try to stick that into a technical picture doesn't always fit real neatly. But I think you stated it very well. If they do something constructive, but what may be constructive to one person is not constructive to the next. And if I can just kind of just slightly, I think that the fact that they held the interest rates artificially low to play things, they waited too long before they started to let it come up a little bit more. And now it's being met with resistance that what have they raised? Maybe all of their work thus far, and you're already hearing people say, no, you got to stop. You got to bring them back down. You got to do this. And it's to do nothing more than just to stimulate the buyers to come back into the market. I'm sorry, Jim, I didn't mean to step in front of you, but I don't think that the Fed's going to do something constructive tomorrow. But in my opinion, constructive would be raising those rates yet again and just trying to keep the lid on what is brewing underneath all of that. And I do think inflation figures are starting to get a little bit heated. I think that they're starting to come up. And I think a lot of that has to do with the trade wars that may be calming, may not be calming. There's just too many uncertainty or too many unknown factors sitting out there waiting to come in so that they can be factored into prices and into the markets. I do not have any true trade suggestions other than if we do get a rally tomorrow. This is where I totally agree with Larry, and that we will, if we can produce a rally tomorrow, it's going to be a rally that's not to get long, although we will see some short covering, but it's another opportunity that if you're holding long positions in particular stocks that will participate in that rally, the longer term view from most people that I talk to is that there will be continued downside moving into 2019. And as they progress into 2019, it could get pretty severe. If that's the case, rallies are going to begin to give us opportunities to adjust positions, to protect positions, to get out of positions. So that would be my suggestion, and use those periods wisely other than trying to think that the rally's back on and maybe I need to double down on my position. I think it's a little bit longer term view in mind as to what other people are saying. And that all rests on the fact that if the Fed truly comes out tomorrow and says, that's it, we're done, we're not raising rates anymore, and everything's under control, that puts a whole nother set of givens underneath markets and algorithms will go nuts. That's what I can say. Jim.
Yeah, well, I try to look at many things and come up with an overall idea of what I think's happening. And you have a debt side of the market and you have a stock side. On the debt side, if you've been watching leveraged loans and high yield bonds, they're starting to deteriorate very significantly. And once you start trotting in an area, you could start galloping. So I think the Fed's very well aware that the debt market on the corporate side is getting a little bit dicey. So I think that's one of their bigger concerns. I don't think they're concerned concerned that real estate stops going up 50% a year. And I don't think they're concerned that Amazon is not at 2000. Again, the market was very overvalued. And when they normalize interest rates, they're normalizing stock prices. So we've just come down. Now, I'm kind of a believer like Jamie Dimon, where it's 3.7% unemployment. And, you know, I still think that the economy is in fairly good shape. So they may be overdoing it a little bit on the downside. And if we start getting back above 2600 again and 2650, you know, don't be shocked if this thing looks a lot better. But I think right now the interest rate situation is getting all the focus, but fighting with 40% of your creditors is probably the bigger problem, meaning going around the world and fighting with all your trade partners and getting them angry at you while they are 40% of your creditors. In other words, they're the buyer of all this debt we're going, is a silly thing to do. Aggravating people who you owe money to is not a smart thing to do. But at any rate, so what I would say is this neighborhood here had better hold. We better get back above 2650 soon, because if it doesn't, you have the risk of the VIX spiking up, and you have a risk of doing like it did in 2011 and 2015, where it goes way down a couple hundred points underneath the 2600 area. And that would be messy for everybody, but it also might be something that is, you know, the end of the story as far as that side of the story is right now. I think, you know, if you want to know what I'm looking at, I think that the U.S. dollar looks like it's getting ready to roll over in a big way. I think that the gold GDX has been steadily creeping up. And my view for next year is that there's going to be an inflation surprise, because wages are very tight and moving higher. And the cost of these tariffs is going to start being sent into consumer prices, which it's already done. And I think that if the Fed eases off on the interest rates, then the dollar would be very vulnerable. With higher inflation and lower interest rates, I think it would be very vulnerable. And of course, if the dollar got vulnerable, I think the gold shares, which bottomed out at 17, are now trading at 21. If they get above 24, 25, you know, they could be the big story for next year if we get the inflation spike, or shall we say surprise. But you can't have Fed funds at 2% if your wages and your prices are going up 4% or better. That math never worked and never will work. So again, I see opportunity on the dollar rolling over to the downside potentially, and I see potential on the GDX moving up substantially if we get the inflationary surprise, which I think is a pretty good shot at this point in time. The stock market, you know, you guys know that the golden crosses or death crosses have gone over in all the major indexes, so getting real bullish on stock for a move back to new highs seems silly right now. But like everything else, you got to follow the tape, you got to follow the numbers. That's why I like using moving averages, because they're just following the tape. They're not creating the tape. So right now the tape obviously is pointing to the downside, and right now the tape looks lousy, but it is getting a little extended away from the averages. And with a Fed dovish comment along with a hike, it could be enough to get the thing at least doing some short covering, but I wouldn't bet pot on it for sure.
Always really enjoyed your commentary, Jim, and I'm just going to tell everybody who else is watching and listening, pay close attention. It's some good stuff from Mr. Kenny. Okay, let's pick it up again, and let's go to ABBV, and Larry, we'll jump back with you to start with this one.
This looks like a good short setup. Again, you know, it could get a retracement bounce, but without that, this looks like a great short setup. You've got a nice break of the support level here. You're below all the major moving averages. The next really good support's down here to about 77 and a half. So I really like the looks of this one for, you know, continuation to the downside.
I happen to agree. Jim.
Yeah, again, in the, I guess you'd consider it somewhat in the healthcare sector. It has an inverted, 50 and a 200 day. So, you know, but again, this thing topped out at 120. You know, you're not exactly early getting negative on it. If it takes out 80, it looks like there's nothing underneath it. So, obviously, you'd probably be looking at it and seeing if it can test this 80 area and hold. And if it could do that, you know, then maybe there's something going on. But with biotechs, you know, one day they're curing disease, the next day they have a disease. So, you know, it's a very volatile sector, and it's a very crapshooty type place. But, you know, crapshoots do come in. The thing went from, 70 up to 120. Nothing wrong with that. But on the flip side, when something doesn't go their way, they go the other way quite a bit. So it's a very fast game. If I was looking at this game right now, my line in the sand's right around that 52-week low, which is 77. I'd be seeing if it can hold that level. And if it can, then I'd be taking a shot with a stop underneath or some kind of kind of a hedge underneath the 77 mark. And, you know, that's the way I'd look at it right now.
I am going to be more in line with what Larry presented, and that I think this is a great short right now. I do not see 77 holding. It obviously can, but I kind of bumped up to the weekly, and the weekly is not real supportive of that taking place. But as Jim said, if it should hold there and bounce, then that would be a more positive for the stock. I don't particularly see that happening right now. On the weekly, I've got the 200-day at 74, and I think that's going to be its next support if it can hold it. I just don't think it's going to, just from the chart pattern and just from what it's done thus far. I think it's going to kind of come down, maybe break that, maybe not this year, but maybe next year at some point, before all is said and done. I think it heads back down towards the 70 level, and that may contain it, but I will have to take another look at that occur. Then you take an additional look to see where everything else is and what's going on around it. But as Jim did say, it is within healthcare, it's within pharmaceuticals, it's all there. And so it's got all the ingredients to zip higher and bounce or get smashed. And right now, I think that everything is kind of getting smashed. So I'm going to be looking for the short and for it to be going down. Next up, we have Schlumberger.
Yeah, Michael, I just wanted to say that I have to cut out early today. And I just wanted to thank everybody for being here. I just got to have a 10-minute head start on you guys. And then just let people know that if they'd like to tune into the weekly podcast, they simply have to go to optionprofessor.com to get the link. And I certainly encourage everybody to do that. And thank everybody for coming today. And thank you guys for letting me be with you today.
And thank you, Jim. And Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll be seeing you next year.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Larry, it's me and you. Let's see if we can just like kick out these last six.
All right. Well, Schlumberger, how ugly can you get? But it's coming down.
I know, right?
That is that is just amazingly ugly. But we're coming down here. See this prior lows back here, February of 2009. So coming into that area there. So that's going to be initial support. But this thing is, you know, it's a sell on any rally. It's definitely way oversold. So would not be shorting it here, but it doesn't. It's just been getting clobbered each and every week, each and every day.
Yeah.
But I would not be doing anything on this guy right here. Super oversold, but just keeps going lower. So I just walk away and find something else to play with.
Yeah, I am going to agree with you. I actually went all the way out to the monthly to take a look at this one.
Yeah.
And of course, with oil just dropping from 75 down to today at 46.20, that's pretty serious. And if so, anything associated with oil and like Schlumberger, which is equipment and drilling and things of that nature, is going to get hit just as hard. And that is exactly pretty much what we have seen, along with the balance of the market getting annihilated. Now, 37.85, which is where it closed today, is considering that, you know, mid 2014, this thing was almost at 120. So in years, this thing has just been annihilated. I don't see a lot of hope right now that it's going to turn around and begin to rally strongly. So like Larry said, I don't see initiating any positions. If you're still holding a long position from pretty far above, I have no advice other than, you know, do you really want to hold it and see how low it can go? I don't show support until we start hitting the Feb 09, as Larry pointed out, the lows at 34.50. Now that's about $3.50 below where we sit right now, but wow. I don't know. I think it's going to go before all said and done. And if it breaks there, the next is the 02 lows at 16.17. And that's pretty serious. But again, it's all, you know, with what's getting heated up in crude in the oil market. So you could choose it as a day trade, but I wouldn't want to touch that with my money. XPO Logistics.
Well, let's take a look. XPO.
Another one.
Is, you can see it's broken below that support there at 64, came down, had a spike below 40, retraced back up. It looks, you know, poised to retest that prior low at 40. So this looks like could get a little bit more retracement tomorrow, but it looks like a good short. And if we look here at the longer term chart, put up weekly, let's take a look here. It's broken the weekly 200 week moving average. So you can see it tried to retest and failed into it right here. Okay, at 57, mm-hmm. could not get it back above it. So that becomes mm-hmm. a really key resistance. So we're sitting right there. You can see right here on support, looking for a potential probably move back down to 40.
Yeah, I am in agreement with you on that one. In fact, I'm looking at it daily. I think that the fact that it did not produce a lot of momentum when it rode one low and it went back. No, please do not relaunch it. Excuse me, I'm getting these messages in my computer and it's like, not now. It didn't generate a lot of momentum, even though it rallied $14, $14+, and then momentum was zip. And so it basically remains, even on a daily basis, oversold and rallying. So I can only imagine that all the opportunity was the sellers taking advantage of the rally. So yes, is there a possibility that it can zip back above 55? Sure. And again, depends on what happens tomorrow. Depends on how the Fed is going to be interpreted and what they have to say. But I think eventually this stock does go below 40. Also mentioned, it starts to get a little bit depressing when you look at stock after stock after stock. Yeah. None of them are looking. None of them are looking real good here. Next up, we have American Outdoor Brands.
Pardon me?
So, not Adobe. AOBC.
AOBC. Okay. Okay. So AOBC. Well, you know, again, you can see the kind of the trend, you can see it just rolling down, but you've got, you know, sitting on moving average support here, this 150, and then here's the 200. So I would just probably say it's going to push towards that 200. You can see it here on the 4-hour time frame, it's starting to roll back over. So just with everything else, it looks like mm-hmm. it's poised to probably break down and retest the lows. It could get a reprieve tomorrow with everything else, but this looks like it's poised to push down to that 200-day moving average and then potentially retest that prior low there.
Yeah, with all of that, one other observation that I'm noticing here, this particular stock does not trade big volume. This is not a big volume stock. So I think that in and of itself can present a problem. If you happen to be long this stock and you get a stronger down day, you could be in a lack of buyers if everybody's bought, and when they start to turn to sellers, you don't want to be the last one in that line, because I think you could get really hurt pretty severely depending on where you bought. I think near term, the 12 area, I think is going to happen. And that'll be very key in how it reacts from there on, because there's a August day after earnings, they had a very large gap, like a $3 gap from, I guess, about 2-dollar gap. And there's been to fill that gap. Now, the last gap that it did, and it looks like also on earnings, was from just above 12. And then when it ran up to 1532, that gap is going to be filled, I feel. So I do think that in the near term, they're going to at least get this thing back down to the 12 level, fill that gap, maybe even go down and test the bottom of that bar at 1150, which starts to fill the previous gap in August. I don't hold a stock either. Since I'm going to take it, it's a retail that I don't know. I don't think they're going to do well. It all depends on how people want to spend their money. So I don't hold a lot out for that stock at the moment. Teva Pharmaceutical.
Another one that's broken below key support, you know, back here, the 200-day first support level there. And, you know, still the trend down. Again, this could get a short covering bounce because it's extremely oversold, but any bounce on this would be a sell. So if you look here at the daily, you know, it broke this level of support right here at 19, push down here, that broke. So if we go back to the weekly, that can give you the next target to the downside, which would be coming in here is support right there at about 16. And then a break of that goes mm-hmm. back down to 12. So again, it could be retracement bounce because it is extremely, extremely oversold. But if it gets back up into these moving averages, then look to unload it if you're still long, or look to potentially reposition into a short, especially if you could get up to the 200-day moving average up here at 21. That'd be a fantastic place to short.
Again, I cannot disagree with what you have said, and there's not much more that I can add. Other than I agree, it is reaching some pretty strong oversold levels. That's on a daily chart. I think near term, the reality of it getting down there to that 1635 level is pretty real. I think that that's not going to be a problem, considering that the stock was down 64 cents today. So dropping 3.6% today would not be a problem if things aren't received like smelling like roses tomorrow. I think this could drop again. I do see the possibility, a stronger possibility, that it's not going to be over until it drops below 12 before all is said and done. So I'd kind of stay away from that one. And again, if you are long this stock, if you are an owner, hopefully you've put on some protection to ride out this particular slide. But again, as Jim mentioned, if you're using options and you are basically selling a call, you may get called. You might get the stock. And therefore, you're going to be long wherever you sold that call. Or if you're long puts, you might have an opportunity to sell your stock at a higher level simply via the put. Not looking good, that one, sorry to say. And Advanced Micro Devices. We'll make this one our last one. I just looked up at the clock. Yeah. But I wanted to include AMD. And then we'll call it a day there. So go ahead.
AMD sitting right here above its 200-day moving average. So and we're in what we call a kind of a consolidation volatility stage. So this one has potential to go either way. I mean, with the broad markets, bigger potential is probably for it to retest these lows down here. But it is above the 200-day moving average. If you look at the the weekly, you can see here the big support is going to be down here to that prior low back in October, about 1640. So based on the way the rest of the markets have been going, I would probably look for this thing at some point to be pushing down towards 1640.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. Just taking a con, it's still, 3150. So it's still trading fairly down from its close. Advanced Micro Devices is not. It closed at 1950, now trading at 1920. So it's only down about 30 cents. And that is, I guess, a positive when it's against the larger sector. I don't think that I think it's really going to go back down, at least give a test towards that 1860, 1850 level. And there's a stronger possibility that it might finish this entire decline. Oh, that was the hourly chart. Let me go up one. Tomorrow it might drift down to that level. Then again, as Larry said, we do have the 200-day moving average at 1828, 1830, right around in there. I think that's going to get tested and broken, and it's going to end up back around 16. And it could do that by year end, for all we know. That's going to do it for today, because we're now running over. So we didn't do XLU, which is the Spiders Utilities Index, which actually is also looking very negative. I did take a look at that earlier. And Square. Square continues to hold up pretty well because they do good business, and they're processing a lot of money. But we're going to conclude there. And Larry, go ahead and just once again tell us where people can find you and any closing comments.
Yeah, well, thank you very much again for having me. I always enjoy this. So if you'd like to check us out, check me out, come to powercycletrading.com. We've got a lot of great free material that you can get, ebooks. I've got a lot of trading software that I've developed that's available to you. A lot of different indicators for all kinds of directional tools if you're looking for trading tools. And then courses just pretty much cover a lot of different types of trading, beginning options, swing trading using options, trading oil, seasonality trading, intraday breakout trades. So a lot of different courses that we have for anybody that's interested, and then always constantly each and every month doing one or two different courses. So just concluded a butterfly course, which is currently going to be available right here, butterflies and condors. So just a lot of great content material. So please come check us out. And if you'd like to get a membership, you get a $7 trial right here. So join our trading club. We have a virtual trading room. We do Q&As every week, a lot of great content. So come visit us and come check us out and come stay. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Larry. Once again, I'm Michael Filiguero with LogicalSignals.com. At the moment, I am working together with a former member of my trade room and in her trade room, and that is the Candlelight Trading. And you can find out about the trade room at www.candlelighttrading.com. Now, here's the important thing. What we're offering is that you get a discount discount of 40, I think maybe even as high as $50 discount for your first month. And if anybody has been thinking about or listening to me talk about this and you have an interest in day trading and day trading futures, then you're going to want to take advantage of this particular offer that you'll find from me. And that would be to join the trade room for a month. So you get $50 off on your first month, but prices are going up on January 1st. So if you're thinking about that, you might want to try to trade room, and you're doing anything with, say, for example, Top Step Trader, you're doing a combine, you're trying that, and get in on that at a much reduced price. And I'm going to turn it back over to David. David, thank you very much for the opportunity. And my apologies for all of the technical difficulties that we had starting, but that's one thing that's not under our control.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, there's a few technical issues, but otherwise a great show to end the year. So yeah, this will be the last timing research show of the year. I'm going to take the next 2 weeks off. I have a bunch of improvements that I'm going to be making to the website. So if anyone listening has any suggestions, feel free to contact me with the contact form on the Timing Research website. And just a reminder, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to this or any of the past shows. I want to thank my guests again for this week. Neil Batho was supposed to be here, but he wasn't able to make it today. So we'll try to get him back on one of the shows early next year. But I want to thank Larry Gaines of PowerCycleTrading.com, Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com, and Michael Filigera of LogicalSignals.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, David. Thank you. Bye-bye. Ciao.